Thanks for tuning in to Faith Church Podcast. We're a church that believes in getting people connected, seeing families grow, and lives being changed. We hope that this message will speak to you today. It was all in our hearts, and I believe you're going to love it. Let's get to it.
This weekend is going to be phenomenal. I've got a message I want to preach, but I want to take about 2 minutes, and I want to go back to a time in 2018 where we actually went off-site, and it's very prophetic. If you listen to the theme of this hope message right now, you're really going to feel impacted. Just think about what we're going through and how in 2018 we had no clue, but it's very prophetic. And then I'm going to come back and preach to you right after you watch this. Welcome to Faith Church this Easter weekend. We have an exciting service planned for you today, but we wanted to get started on location this weekend because we're at a very unique, kind of crazy spot.
We absolutely love this place because it's different. Mm-hmm. And the way that it's different is they have collected trash, junk, things you and I would consider completely useless, and they've brought them here intentionally, and they've made something beautiful, unique, and one of a kind.
And sometimes that's the way I feel. You know, I'm like, man, could God use me? All these different broken pieces, and have I messed up? And that might be you today. But God loves taking stuff that maybe other people thought was useless, and actually uses a test for a testimony. And that's why we wanted to start it here. As you can see, there's a lot going on. And so my story and Nicole's story looks a lot like this museum.
They say it's darkest before the dawn. How's that supposed to make anybody feel better? Nobody wants to be left in the dark. I remember some dark times in my life. I remember when my husband became drug addicted and became abusive and left me. I remember getting divorced. I remember having a miscarriage. I remember being diagnosed with cancer. And as you hear this much of the story of my life, you might think, that was a terrible life. That was so dark. Where was your hope? Even though it felt dark, even though it felt like junk, even though I felt unusable at the time, even though I felt like I had failed at the time, I can see. I can see where there was a seed of hope that was alive on the inside of me.
You know, I think you're probably like me and you like wide open spaces like this. I mean, it's open, it's expansive, you don't feel closed in. Oftentimes, though, the process is painful, and that pain takes place in kind of dark areas. All these broken pieces, and God starts putting them together. Keeping hope alive is so important during those difficult times. I remember, like Nicole, I went through that process of pain. You might be there right now where you're like, man, could God use me? I've been divorced. Will this turn around? Will the cancer go away? Will my child come off drugs? There's a lot of little pieces, and God starts putting those pieces together, and then he brings us to an area that you can start seeing light at the end of the tunnel, where God starts telling you it's going to be okay. Your children are going to be okay. You're blessed, you're favored, that it's not over till it's over. You know, in those difficult seasons, I remember living in a basement apartment, and I was divorced, and I really didn't even really want to hear people talk positive because I was so negative. But I had one guy that kept telling me, your life's going to be good again. He was kind of turning a light on for me. You're going to be happy again. You're going to love again. God's going to send you a great girl. Oh, you're going to have kids. Little did I know that God was getting ready to open up a great big old field of opportunity if I could just keep hope alive. So whatever you do this Easter season, know that God is for you. And if he is for you, who and what can be against you?
That's what we've come together to celebrate this Easter weekend, the fact that Jesus has risen from the dead. But that's not disjointed or unrelated to where you are today in your life and your journey. Matter of fact, Jesus being alive means that Jesus is alive on the inside of you, which means hope is alive on the inside of you.
And because Jesus is alive, that changes everything. God is about to resurrect your dreams, your opportunities, things that you thought were never going to come back together again. They're going to come alive because Jesus is alive. You know, I love that clip from 2018 because it shows that prophetically we were already seeing what God is doing right now, that he's a God of hope, that he's with us. And he took that museum that we saw today, and some artist said, I'm going to take all this junk
and take it and make a story out of it. I actually want to make a museum. People actually want to go there now. And they took a lot of little pieces and made something beautiful. And here in 2020, God's going to take all these little pieces that you feel that are falling apart, or I might have lost my job. Don't lose your mind. God's going to use that piece. I'm struggling over here in my mind. I'm depressed. Whatever you're going through, don't focus on today what you're going through. I want you to focus on this Easter weekend, what you're going to, because hope is alive and Jesus is alive and he's in the resurrection business. And I prophesy over the United States of America, God's about to resurrect you. God's about to resurrect this country again. We're going to come back stronger. We're going to go shopping again. Come on, somebody shout amen. You're going to go to the movies again. You're going to enjoy your life again. We just need to focus on hope at this moment. There's a passage of scripture, a lot of them, but one in particular where these guys, Jesus' disciples, after the resurrection, they haven't seen Jesus yet, but they're walking down the road and they're complaining about, on this 7-mile journey, how Jesus is gone and he's not here. And then all of a sudden in verse 17, he asks them, "What are you guys discussing so intently as you walk along the road?" Whenever it's read, by the way, it means Jesus is talking. They didn't know it was Jesus, but he said, "Hey, what are you guys discussing?" They stopped short, sadness, and they started telling this stranger, they don't know it's Jesus, about Jesus. They said, "Well, only a few days ago, you know, this guy that we thought was Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, he was a prophet. He did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher, and it was just amazing. But he was all the leading priests and the religious leaders of the day, they handed him over to be condemned to death and to crucify him. And then it said, we had hoped that he was the Messiah, that he had come to rescue us. It happened 3 days ago." Just check this out. I think this is where a lot of us are at today on this Easter weekend. We had hoped that it was our banner year. We had hoped that we were going to get married. We had hoped, how am I going to meet somebody if I'm locked down in quarantine? How? And so we're trying to do the math on the miracle. All the while, Jesus was walking with them. They're on a 7-mile journey, and they're complaining and remaining about what they don't have and how they lost Jesus. And Jesus is walking right next to them. I'm sure it was a lot of fun for Jesus when he was like, "Hey, was he a good guy? Was he good looking? Did he have a great personality?" They didn't know they were talking to Jesus, but Jesus was right there. I'm telling you today, wherever you're at in the United States of America, or for that matter, the world, whether you attend Faith Church or you're just watching somehow because somebody on Facebook hit share, I'm here to tell you that Jesus is walking alongside of you, and you need to recognize that it is him. Even though their hopes were shattered, their dreams were scattered, and they didn't think that God could ever put it back together, God, Jesus, the Son of God, was with them. Wherever they were walking, he was with them. They just didn't recognize it. Could it be today that we don't recognize that Jesus, the Son of God, is living and abiding on the inside of us? That one who died on the cross 2,000 years ago for us, he carried our guilt and our shame and our condemnation. He became sin, even though he did no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ. And now we're in our homes locked up saying, "Oh, the world's over. And I read this and I saw this on the internet and they're saying that and the other. Maybe we could put on a face mask and protect ourselves." I believe that we ought to do everything we can right now to make sure that we're walking in wisdom, but we can't protect ourselves. We have a all-loving God, for God so loved the world that he sent Jesus into the world to redeem us, to revive us, to restore us. And I'm telling you, 2020 is not over. It is your jubilee. It is your banner year. You hold on to your dreams, even though you're going through a difficult situation. Again, don't focus on what you're going through. Focus on what you're going to. Somebody ought to run around the coffee table and let the dog chase you right now. Come on. Now, I'm here to tell you it is your resurrection weekend. I also think as I looked over this passage, you know, where they said, you know, he said he would be back in 3 days. It was the third day and Jesus was back. It's almost like Jesus probably was saying to them, "Hey, guys, you gave up a little short of the finish line. Maybe you should have gone ahead and called downstairs and told them to extend your stay. And you wanted to stay one more night to see if I would do what I said I would do." Do you know sometimes we do, don't we? We give up just a little shy of seeing the breakthrough. We break down right before we break through. And on this 2020 Easter weekend, I don't want you to break down. I want you to get up and say, "Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world." And I'm going to recognize that Jesus was walking with them, but guess what? Jesus is now walking with me. But it's very important to recognize that hope is alive, hope is in you, hope is with you, and God loves you in spite of you. Even when we look at the Old Testament, we see this demonstrated. Remember when Jonah was in the belly of the whale for
For how long? 3 days and three nights. This was a type of Jesus going to hell for us. So on this Easter weekend, I want you to look at the cross for a minute. And I want you to think about the fact that Jesus not only died physically, and we don't make light of that because that was horrible and horrifying, as they pierced his side, as they pierced his hands, as they pierced his feet. That was unbelievable. Then they put that crown of thorns upon his head. And it says this, that he became sick that we might be healed, that he became poor that we might be enriched in all areas. He suffered all the mental anguish you're going through, all the physical pain and anguish that you might go through. He paid it all. Just like Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, Jesus was in the belly of hell for 3 days and three nights. Not physically. His physical body, of course, was wrapped up, put in that tomb, which is now empty. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah. The tomb is now empty and he's been resurrected physically, but he actually died spiritually. He had to go down in the pit of hell and he had to take from the devil the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And it says, then he ascended into the earth realm. And we know that's where we saw him walking down the street with people. Jesus wanted to be with people and he wants to be with people today. And this hopeful Jesus that I'm talking to you about right now loves you in spite of you. This is what biblical prophecy was about. Jonah, 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. Jesus, 3 days and three nights in the belly of hell, and he overcame so that we could be an overcomer. Now, no longer do we get what we deserve. Come on, somebody. We get what Jesus deserves. God takes people like us who say, you know what? I'm going to lay down my life because Jesus laid down his life for me. Here's another three-day example. We know that Abraham and Isaac, remember Abraham is 100 years old and he now has a son, Isaac. And now Isaac, everybody kind of paints him in a picture as a little boy, but the Bible and studies actually prove he's about 17 years old. So it's, you know, in the Bible, a lot of times preachers say, you know, he put down his little son. And so you think, oh, the little son doesn't have a choice. How many of y'all know a 17-year-old ripped man and a 100-year-old boy, he laid down his life willingly. So for 3 days, they're walking up to this hillside, which also is just like the hillside where Jesus walked up. Jesus now takes that cross and he actually lifts it up high. And we know that Abraham is getting ready to give up his only son. And right before they go to put the knife in his only son, there's a ram which represents the lamb of Jesus. Somebody ought to give God praise today. And this lamb now that represents Jesus is all biblical prophecy for what God is doing today. This didn't take God by surprise. COVID-19 didn't freak God out. What's going on in the world might freak people out of the world, but people like you and I who understand biblical prophecy, we're right exactly in this point in history where we were designed to give hope to people, to tell you, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Isaac laid down his life willingly at 17. Jesus laid down his life willingly. And I'm asking you this Easter weekend to say, you know what? I'm buying into this right now. I believe maybe for the first time that there really is a God that loved me. I really believe in for the first time that I cannot earn my righteousness, that I don't clean up to come to Christ. I come to Christ and then he cleans me up. That's the beauty of the gospel, friend. We start walking by faith and not by sight. And I'm all for self-help groups. I'm all for programs that are going to help you. But if you're like me, oftentimes you can't help yourself because there's something kind of selfish about all of us, right? Don't you think? I mean, when you look at a picture, what's the first thing you look for in a group picture, right? You want to make sure that you look good. I mean, if it's a Christmas picture and everybody in my family looks horrible, but I look good, I go, hey, I think that's the one. And they go, I got my eyes closed. And I'm like, yeah, but I look really good right then, right? Because I got my neck up and things were right because they're kind of selfish. I heard of two little boys, a five-year-old and a seven-year-old, and they were arguing during the COVID-19. Mom was at home cooking. I mean, y'all know that's a whole thing. While you're at home cooking, you're the chef, you're the school teacher, you're the cleaner, you're the referee, you're the counselor, there's a lot going on. And these two are arguing over who got the first pancake. And so the one little boy looked at the other and said, you know what? I'm going to get the first pancake. And so mom looked and said, you know what? If Jesus was here, Jesus would give his brother the first pancake. And the youngest one said, okay, you be Jesus, right? Because we're all at the end of the day, a little bit selfish. We're a little bit all about us saving us. We can't save ourselves. We need to recognize that hope is with us today and God loved us. He hoped for us to do right and we will do right when we put our attention on the cross of Calvary where Jesus died and we stop thinking that we can help ourselves and realize Jesus is the only one that can do it. I want to go to another passage in chapter in John. John chapter 20, verse 1, it says, "An early Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb. She found that the stone had been rolled away to the entrance. She sees it. She freaks out. She's standing in verse 11 outside of the tomb, and she's crying. She's heartbroken, mental anguish, because guess what? Jesus is gone. They moved him. And so verse 14, it says, she turned to leave, and she saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him." Doesn't that sound like the story before? Does that sound like maybe where you're at right now, where you don't recognize that Jesus in the midst of COVID-19, that Jesus is in the midst of this setback, that it's actually a comeback, that maybe God, like your parents, grounded you when you were a little kid and you went to your room for a good while, and then when your heart changed, they let you out? They weren't mad at you. They weren't like, "I hate you." They were just like, "Hey, you need to come to your senses for a minute." And this is where God, I think, has us right now. Some of you, for the first time, are entertaining the fact that maybe Jesus is not a way, but Jesus is the way. I'm pointing you to the cross today. So she finds herself next to Jesus, but she doesn't recognize him. He says, "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asks. "Who are you looking for?" She thought it was the gardener. She thought, you got to be careful what you're thinking. Maybe you're thinking wrong today. I want you to change the way you think this resurrection weekend so you can change the way you live. She thought it was the gardener. She said, "Sir, if you've taken him away, where have you put him? I will go get him." Then we hear him say, "Mary," Jesus said. She turned and cried out, "Teacher, Mary." You know, it was then that all of a sudden she doesn't recognize him, but he not only knew her, he knew her name. We're in the year of the census right now, right? Everybody's like, "I got to identify who you are and where you came from." And right now you might feel socially isolated and you're locked up in your room and you don't know where you're going. I'm telling you, Jesus is telling me to tell you today, he knows your name. During the year of the census, when they're trying to figure out your name, Jesus knows your name. He knows the thumbprint that he gave you. He knows the hairs on your head. He cares for you affectionately, and he is with you right now, right here on Facebook, on the Faith Church app, in your living room, in your trailer, in your home, wherever you're at today. He knows your name, and you don't recognize that he's here right now. You would have died as a child, but he was there. You would have been in a failing situation already, but God loves you. I mean, we grew up, a lot of us, in the 70s with shag carpeting. We ate Cheerios in weird spots. We rode bikes without a helmet. We drank water out of a hose. Come on. We've been through some stuff. We should be dead by now. But Jesus is there, and you didn't recognize it, but he's here today. I love that. He said, "Hey, Mary." Now let's talk about Mary in our last closing couple of minutes. Mary, this woman, Mary Magdalene, she's the one who came to Jesus, and she was a very, very, very bad sinner. She did a lot of stuff with a lot of men. And Jesus was invited to a guy's house one night for dinner, and all of a sudden she shows up and she starts washing his feet and drying his feet with, you know, her hair. And if you read about this account, it's quite amazing. Over in Luke, it describes it all in chapter 7. It says, this woman, verse 36, the Pharisees had him over for dinner, and Jesus went into the home and sat down to eat. And there was a certain immoral woman from the city who had been eating there, and she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume, and she knelt at his feet, weeping with her tears. She wiped them off with her hair, and she kept kissing his feet, putting perfume on them. And the Pharisees who invited him there said, he said to himself, you got to be careful what you say to yourself. If this guy was a prophet, if Jesus was a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is. She's a sinner. And then Jesus answered his thoughts. Check that out. He didn't say anything audibly. He just thought it. But Jesus not only knows your name, he knows your thoughts. And so Jesus said, hey, listen, I have something to say to you, to your thoughts. Jesus told him a story. If a man loaned someone money, maybe somebody 500 pieces of silver, and to one 50 pieces would be the other. And neither one of them could repay, and he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Come on, Jubilee. Who do you suppose would love him more? And Simon answered, I suppose the one who had been canceled the larger debt. I'm here to tell you today that this woman that we see who is at the tomb of Jesus is also the notorious adulterous woman of shame. And even though the world, the religious people judged her, Jesus didn't judge her, he forgave her. On that cross that you see back there this weekend, that's where he bled and he died. And he was not only paying for our sin, he was a massive overpayment for our sin. There's nothing that you've ever done or anything that you could ever do that God will not forgive you of it and take your sins today and throw them as far as the east is from the west. And even when other people are judging you, God looks at their thoughts, and he wasn't condemning that guy. He didn't say, hey, you're a jerk. You're bad. What are you thinking? Watch what you're thinking in front of me. No, Jesus said, hey, let me just tell you a story. Let's help you understand this. And he told the story that I just told you. Why was she so grateful? And he goes on to tell the guy, he said, hey, by the way, when I came to your house a minute ago, you never even as much as give me a towel, a wet wipe, toilet paper to wipe off my feet. But she loved me so much because she feels the forgiving power of Jesus so much that she's actually taking a year's worth of wages and pouring it over my feet, and she's drying my feet with her hair. That's a whole lot of love, y'all. And she was the one that we're reading about right now that was at the tomb saying, where have you taken him? I don't know what's going on. My hopes have been shattered. We don't know where he's at. And Jesus is right there. And she assumed he was the gardener. I'm telling you, watch what you assume in 2020. God is with you. He's going to turn the situation around for your good. You keep your hopes up high. You keep your eyes on Jesus. And he is not surprised. 2,000 years ago, when he gave himself as our spotless redeemer, our kinsman, the only one who could die for us today, I'm begging you on this Easter Sunday today to say, hey, you know what, Jesus, I'm calling on you. And the American people are trying to do a census to find out who I am, but you know who I am. You breathed your breath in me. You created me for greatness. And if I didn't have a plan on this people planet, I wouldn't be here right now. I'm telling you, God's got a big plan for you, and it's not over until it's over. And as we're going into this resurrection season, as the trees are beginning to blossom in New York City, as the trees in Forest Park are beginning to show the signs of the dogwood, as in California today, we're seeing life come up out of the ground. I'm telling you, America, let's get back to God. Let's go back to the cross, and let's say, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, I would hear from heaven, and I would heal their land. I want to be with you. I don't like being grounded in my house, and I don't want you to be grounded in my house, but I want you to recognize that Jesus is with you, that he's for you, and it's not over. Good times are here again. Keep your hopes up. Keep your faith alive, because what the devil meant for evil, God is about to turn it around for your good. Come on, I feel like if I was in a crowd, you'd be up screaming right now, because God is not surprised by any of this. I'm going to give myself an amen and jump around for a minute. I'm here to tell you, none of this matters a year from now or 2 years from now. God's going to work all things together for your good. And in our last 2 minutes, let's check this out. We're almost done. And on Facebook, I need you to hit share like crazy. Use your influence today to influence other people on this Easter weekend. Now, the really cool part that I love that I just couldn't leave out of today's text is in verse 19, it says this, that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting together behind locked doors. It reminds me of you and us right now. We got the doors locked. We're in a house. They were behind locked doors because they were afraid. Many of you are afraid today. And I prophesy over you that God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. And just like Jesus was with her and she didn't know it, just like Jesus was with the disciples on a 7-mile walk and they didn't know it was him, Jesus is in your house today. He knows my name. It's a beautiful song. He knows who you are. He's right there. They were behind lockdown. And suddenly Jesus was standing among them. And he said, peace be with you. Suddenly, he didn't walk through the door. He walked through the walls. You don't have to open up the door today for God to be in your house physically. But you do have to open up the door of your heart today and let him walk through. He's wanting to walk through and become a part of your life. And I'm going to give you an opportunity in a minute to pray that prayer to make Jesus the Lord of your life. He walked behind the locked doors, and suddenly Jesus was standing there, and he said, peace be with you. Notice he didn't say fear. Keep watching CNN. Keep watching Fox News. There's a lot of fear in the world. No, he said, peace be with you. And you can't have peace watching that stuff all the time. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds on his hands and his side, and they were filled with joy. Notice when Jesus shows up, joy shows up. The Bible said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It says, let patience have its perfect work. It's like, let this time be at home be okay, being okay with not being okay, because joy comes. Remember, joy is part of the fruit of the Spirit. This is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's found in Galatians 5:23, 22 and 23. love, the second thing after love, after God so loved the world, then joy came. Have joy today on this resurrection weekend. And then he says to them again, peace be with you. The Father has sent me, and now I'm sending you. And he breathed on them to receive the Holy Spirit. And we know right now, it's like nobody breathed on anybody, but it's okay for God to breathe on you. And I pronounce to you today that in 2020, God is breathing a fresh wind in your life. Maybe for the first time in a long time, you've entertained the fact that if I was allowed to go to church, I would go to church. In fact, some of you have been watching online and you're like, man, I didn't know church was this cool. I didn't know they did all those really cool musicals. And I felt those goosebumps and it seems real. It seems authentic. I want you to know, I can't speak for all preachers, but I can speak for myself, that I'm like that woman. And I'm the least likely for God to ever pick to do this, to talk to you today. I'm not educated for it. I don't come from the right side of the tracks. I've been divorced. I've done all kinds of bad things. But God chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And today, if you feel alone, if you feel abandoned by his stripes, you're sick, you're healed. The crown of thorns that was on his head, now take and get rid of all those mental issues and anguish that you have. Your hopes aren't shattered. Like the guys on the 7-mile walk, the third day is not yet over. So don't check out early. Go ahead and extend your stay and say, you know what? At least I'm going to wait 3 days. At least I'm going to give this COVID-19 a little bit of time. And I'm not going to grow weary and well-doing. I'm going to reap. And this is my banner year. And we're hearing awesome testimonies from people at our church who are starting businesses and people are getting raises. And you're like, well, that's not happening to me. Well, guess what? It's not over yet. It's like a Polaroid picture. Remember the Polaroid? You take it. I'm almost done. And you take it out and you're like, there's nothing here. And then you got to wait. You go, it's going to develop. It's not done yet. And then it slowly starts to appear. And you're like, oh, yeah. Oh, I like this picture. I'm telling you, life hasn't turned out yet. COVID-19 is not going to take out America. It's not going to take out the world, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, who is the hope of the world, the light of the world. And he's going to take care of you today. As you're looking at the scenes of Jesus on the cross, it's penetrating your heart and your mind right now. On Facebook, as you're sharing and commenting back, I want everybody to pray this prayer with me right now, wherever you're at. You don't have to be in a physical room of a church to have church. You're in your room. I'm in my room. But we're having church right now. And I want to give you probably the greatest opportunity you'll ever have in your life. And that's to either get your right life right back with God because you've walked away from the Lord. Or maybe you have never known Jesus before. You're in some country where they've never preached the gospel like this. All you have to do is pray this prayer with me. Would you pray it with me right now? Just out loud, say it with me. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus. I make him my Lord and Savior. And for this moment forward, he is now my Lord. I turn my back on my past and I turn my face toward the cross. I'm now born again and you are my Lord and Savior. Now listen, if you prayed that prayer right now, you're probably not going to feel goosebumps. Nothing really changed. It's not like I didn't hear angels and, you know, nothing really changed around the house. Nothing changed perhaps on the outside, but you got to recognize, like those stories that we just told, that something changed on the inside. And so now you just start talking to God every day. He's listening anyway. He was walking with them and they didn't know that he was listening. He's listening to you today. So don't be discouraged, but be encouraged about that, to know that this message today, hopefully, was a life-giving message to you, and you'll make Jesus Lord and Savior of your life.
Thanks for joining us on our podcast today. We certainly hope it spoke to you in the same way it was speaking to us. If you enjoyed this message today, there's a few things I like to encourage you to do. First of all, subscribing to it. It's really easy to get these Faith Church sermons sent straight to your phone with a notification as soon as they're ready. I mean, you want that, right? Secondly, by sharing with a friend on social media, just like you might share a sale or some great restaurant, we're looking for you to share it with your friends. You never know in your network of friends who really needs this message today. And lastly, before you go, if you'll rate and review this on iTunes, it'll really help us expand our reach, help more people globally. Each time there's a positive rating, this really helps push us in front of more people. So that's what I want you to do. And if you live in the St. Louis area or West Palm Beach, come out and see us at our physical locations. If you don't, make sure you tune in to our church online. It's a real campus at faithchurch.com.